Hello, and welcome to the TAA Audio Conference, Summer Writing 101, How to Avoid the Biggest Mistakes Academic Writers Make During the Summer Term, presented by Carrie Ann Rockmore. Carrie Ann is Executive Director of the National Center for Faculty Development and Diversity. Her scholarship has focused on interracial families, biracial identity, and the politics of racial categorization. She is the author of Beyond Black and Raising Biracial Children, as well as over 24 articles and book chapters on multiracial youth. After she became a tenured professor, her focus shifted to improving conditions for pre-tenure faculty by creating supportive communities for writing productivity and work-life balance. Her award-winning work with underrepresented faculty led to the publication of her most recent book, The Black Academic's Guide to Winning Tenure Without Losing Your Soul. She provides workshops for new faculty at colleges across the U.S., writes a weekly advice column for Inside Higher Ed, and works with a select group of new faculty each semester in the Center's Faculty Success Program. I now turn the session over to Carrie Ann.
Hi there, and thanks, Kim. Thanks so much for inviting me to do this, and I'm delighted to be here on this beautiful day. I'm in Chicago. It's 80 degrees. The sun is actually out, and it kind of feels like summer. So in some ways, it's really gotten me in the spirit of thinking about summer writing. So this workshop is really about Summer Writing 101, and I've kind of subtitled it How to Avoid the Biggest Mistakes Academic Writers Make. But in my mind, I really think of it as how do you get all your writing done and have plenty of fun? And I'm assuming that if you're here on the call, if you've invested the time today to really be here with us and learn, that it's really because you want to have both an incredibly productive summer in terms of your academic writing, but that you also really want to enjoy the summer, right? You want to have time to enjoy your family, your friends, your travel, and the wonderful, wonderful weather. So really, that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you get the writing done and have plenty of time and the emotional freedom to go ahead and have quite a bit of fun as well? So, you know, I appreciate Kim gave me this really lovely introduction, and I think the one piece of that that really matters for what I'm going to talk about today is that I run, you know, a pretty big faculty development center. We serve somewhere around 4,000 students, postdocs, faculty, and one of the programs that we offer is this really intensive summer boot camp. And, you know, it's not really any big secret. When people go through this boot camp experience, they really get amazing results. And last summer in particular, we had really transformative results among people. And, you know, part of why I'm telling you this is because what I want to share today is kind of the secrets of our boot camp, and I want to share them so that you can pick and choose among them what's going to really be helpful for you. But when I say, you know, we really see these transformative results over and over again, what I mean by that is that people experience both explosive productivity and they really enjoy the hell out of their summer, right? And I think as hard as we work as academics during the year, the summer really is a special time. It's a special time where we kind of fantasize all year that we're going to get a lot of writing done. But it's also a time that we are free from teaching, from meetings, from service commitments, and that we should really enjoy and I think really savor the pleasures of those summer months. So what's interesting to me always about our boot camp is that we have all kinds of different people who participate, just as I imagine we have all kinds of different people on this call. We have people with kids. We have people without kids. We have people who travel all summer and often participate from other countries. And we have some people who never leave their home. We have people at every stage of the academic path, right? Graduate students, postdocs, faculty. We have people in varying levels of pressure in their circumstances. In other words, some people who at one end of the spectrum are high performing and just want to learn how to be more high performing. And then we have other people who are really in trouble. They're completely jammed up and their summer is really about book or bust, dissertation or bust, publish or perish, whatever it is. We have people at R1s, liberal arts colleges. We have people in every different discipline. And I mention this because what's amazing to me about it is despite all this variation, it seems that there are a few things that really work for all different kinds of people in all different kinds of circumstances. And the things that work are really about creating a structure to support your writing and your work-life balance. And ultimately, that's what I want to share with you today. I think that's Summer Writing 101. It's how do you set up a structure to support both your writing and your life. And, you know, I just want to be perfectly clear. My intention today, my goal today is to really share information with you. I'll be honest that for me, last summer was the best summer of my life. And I think it was the best summer of my life because I was able to really participate in the structure myself. It was transformative for the participants in the boot camp because of the structure. And, of course, we can only work with a small number of people. And what I've realized is that I really want everyone to know what that structure is. I don't feel like I'm giving something away that's a big, fat secret. I want everybody to know what the structure is because I want you to be able to really imagine yourself, what it would look like for you. I want during this call for you to be thinking about how you could set up some of these things. And ultimately, just to realize that the structure itself is really derived from the best practices, from what we know from faculty development research creates productivity and balance, and that we really want to think about what makes most sense for our particular situation. Okay? So, I really just want you to listen today, and I want you to really just soak in the information. I want you to think about how it applies to you, and I just want you to really listen to whatever your inner knowing is in terms of what you want and what you really need to make this summer different than other summers, to make this summer better than other summers, and to make this summer incredibly both productive and fun. So what I want to do is really just a couple things. I want to first talk briefly about what I would call the biggest challenges that academic writers face during the summer semester. And that's the nice way of saying what I think the biggest mistakes are that people make. And I'll say it both in the positive way and in the more negative mistake way. And then secondly, I just want to talk about that structure. I want to talk about what the five secrets are to a super productive summer, okay? And each of those secrets, let's be honest, is really about setting up that structure to support your writing and your life. And then finally, we'll take some questions at the very end. So first and foremost, let's just talk about the challenges of the summer semester. I think they're pretty clear, but lots of us get caught up in them, right? So first and foremost, it's the biggest challenge is having unstructured time, right? And certainly that varies depending on your role, where you are in your process, whether or not you're teaching during the summer. But I want to be really explicit about this because I think when we have lots of unstructured time, it can sometimes create the illusion or maybe the delusion that we have lots of time, right? So if I don't have structure, it just somehow feels in my brain like there's lots of time. And, you know, it's exactly this time of year that I'm sort of peering out from the end of the semester and I'm looking at my calendar and it just seems like there's months and months and months of unlimited time for me to do lots of things. And the only reason I think this sometimes is a problem is that when we have this illusion that we have lots of time, what we tend to do is we tend to procrastinate, we might belabor tasks longer than we need to, and really I think the thing some of us want to do is to really not have a structure whatsoever. And I get it, right? Most of us, we're coming off a really, really structured time of the academic year. The last thing we want to do is think about creating a structure. But what I often see and what I often hear from people is that the challenge of unstructured time seems to lead to a very familiar pattern, which is not doing a lot at the beginning of the summer, and then people feel like they kind of blinked, and it's already the 4th of July, and then all of a sudden that big, long summer feels like, oh, I only really have 5 weeks left, and I've got to get a lot done. So you just want to be really cognizant, I think, up front that unstructured time can lead to some behavior that is less than productive. In addition to the challenge of unstructured time, I think the second challenge that we face during the summer is that many of us are really exhausted from the intensity of the academic year. And it's perfectly normal to feel a complete, total, and utter exhaustion this time of year. It's completely normal to just feel, you know, absolutely bone weary. And I'm naming this challenge because I think we need to really respond to that. I think we need to be really clear in our body when we need rest. And I think we just need to give ourselves time to recover. The mistake that I see people make is that they don't recognize how exhausted that they are, and they just try to keep moving forward without giving themselves a period of time that they can actually rest and relax and recover from the intensity of the academic year. So in addition to the challenge of unstructured time, in addition to the challenge of really needing to respond to being on an empty gas tank, I think there's also a third challenge, and the third challenge is that many of us feel like we have lots of things that we neglect during the academic year and that we need to tend to them during the summer, right? So when we're really busy during the semester, there's lots of things that we put off, right? There's lots of areas of our lives that we sacrifice, our health, our relationships, sleep, you know, going to the dentist, whatever. You know what those things are for you. My husband just pointed out to me this morning that I hadn't been to the dentist since last summer. So dentist is very high on my agenda right now. The point is this. If you are someone who's sacrificed a number of things and feel like you need to somehow either make up for them or attend to them during the summer, that, again, becomes a list of items, a list of tasks that you need to complete. And we just want to be sure that we structure in a way to get all of those things done. So I think there's two more challenges, two more mistakes that people make during the summer term, and I think these two are probably maybe the most difficult and problematic. The first is that if you're not currently a daily writer, i.e. you're not somebody who has adopted the practice of writing 30 to 60 minutes Monday through Friday, every week during the semester, what can sometimes happen is that you might feel a sense that you have to complete a full year's worth of research in what ends up amounting to somewhere between 12 to 15 weeks. And, you know, obviously, I think the mistake here is not writing every day during the semester. But if you aren't doing that now, that's fine. We're just moving forward from today. But the real reason I want to caution you about this is because sometimes this idea that people do their writing during the summer and I only write during the summer, what it can lead to is really high and unrealistic expectations about the amount of work that can actually be completed during a summer, right? So there's a limited amount of time every day that you can spend engaged in highly focused intellectual work, right? You're probably not going to be able to write every day for 8 hours a day over 15 weeks. It doesn't really work like that. So what I want to caution you about and what we're going to be talking about as we go through the day today is really being realistic about your goals, knowing that it's not going to be possible to do a year's worth of writing in the short period of time that is our summer break, but that we really want to be clear about what can we get done, what are the most important things that we need to get done, and how can we get them done in such a way that they're done efficiently and also allow for time for us to get everything else done. So, again, last challenge here, I've already talked about unstructured time, I've already talked about tending to your exhaustion, I've already talked about really the need to address the neglected areas of your life, health, and relationships, and to really set realistic goals, especially if you're not currently a daily writer. I think the last challenge of the summer, and I'm just going to say this one flat out is a mistake, and that is the mentality of isolation, right? So some of us imagine our summer is this time that we're going to go off alone, we're going to buckle down, we're going to, go into some cave-like circumstance and environment, and we're going to be there just writing in isolation, and we're going to come out the other side with a dissertation, a book, a manuscript, or whatever. And, if you know anything about my work, if you know anything about me, this to me is just the absolute opposite way of doing summer writing. To me, this is guaranteed to produce misery and anxiety and lots of negative outcomes. For me, I think you should let go of the entire idea of going it alone. I think we need to let go of the idea that somehow during the summer we're going to be perfectly disciplined, perfectly motivated, perfectly machine-like every single day. We're going to write for 8 hours a day, and we're going to get a year's worth of writing done. I think instead what I'm really going to encourage you to do today is to think in exactly the opposite way, to just recognize you're a human being. Some days you're motivated, some days you're unmotivated. Some days you're disciplined, some days you're undisciplined. Some days you want to write, some days you don't want to write. And really to recognize that there's a natural up and down, there's natural peaks and valleys in the writing process, and that one of the worst things that we can do is try to isolate ourselves, because what it ends up doing is really elongating the valleys and really minimizing the peaks, okay? So those are the challenges. Those are, I think, the mistakes that people make, right? They don't account for the unstructured time. They don't recognize their own need to recover from the year. They don't really plan what those neglected things are that they need to tend to. They have unrealistic expectations, and they want to be in isolation, okay? So that's the end of my negative statements for today. What I want to do really is spend the rest of our time focusing and getting really clear about what are the secrets to having a super productive summer. What are those things that enable you to create a structure to support your writing and that will enable you to have a different kind of summer than you've had in the past? And I think the summer that's so common for people is you have all kinds of goals and expectations. You just kind of hope they're going to get done with no real plan, and then at the end, you end up feeling frustrated and disappointed because you didn't get all the things that you wanted to do done, even if all those things were unrealistic. So how can you avoid that? How can you really have a summer where you have realistic goals, you get things done, you spend lots of time enjoying the weather, and at the end of the summer, instead of feeling that common sense of frustration and disappointment, that you really feel a deep and profound sense of satisfaction, that you feel ready to go back to the academic year, and that you feel genuinely proud of and can easily articulate to your colleagues how you have spent your summer, okay? So I think there's really five secrets, each one of these secrets is about creating a structure. And I know everybody hates structure. I know academics especially hate structure. I know people who write especially hate structure. And nobody really, especially this time of the year, wants to talk about structure. But here's the deal. My most fundamental belief, it's not just my belief, it's grounded in empirical studies, it's grounded in the results I've seen from my bootcamp members over and over again, is that structure provides freedom. I know that sounds horrible. However, I think it's absolutely true. Setting up a structure not only provides you freedom, but what do I mean when I'm saying it provides you freedom? Well, first and foremost, it provides you freedom from the guilt and anxiety that we all carry around when we're not writing. It provides you freedom from these feelings of disappointment at the end of the semester because you didn't get everything done you wanted to get done. And, I think it also provides you incredible freedom from the idea that somehow you have to work all the time, Because guess what? You can be productive and you don't have to work all the time. I see people all the time who are incredibly productive working half a day in the summer, Monday through Friday. I think it also, structure provides you freedom from the idea that somehow you're in this alone, okay? So you may not believe me, but I'm just asking you to entertain this notion, at least for the next 40 minutes, that maybe, just maybe, setting up a structure for yourself could actually both increase your writing and increase the enjoyment and pleasure that you experience in your summer, okay? So what are the five secrets, to a super productive summer, the five secrets to setting up a structure, the five secrets to our boot camp? Well, they're very simple. I'm going to give you an overview of them, and then I'm going to talk about each one individually, okay? So I think the five secrets are, number one, every summer starts with a plan, right? So you have to create a summer plan. The second secret is write every day because daily writing, that's the pillar of productivity, okay? Secret number three is to join a supportive community of daily writers. Secret number four is to commit to regular accountability. And secret number five is a dedicated mentor. So I'm going to talk about each one of these individually. And again, I just want you to really think about for yourself, how could I set this up in my life in a way that might be meaningful? I'm not suggesting you have to do all of these. You might want to pick and choose, but I just want you to get really clear about what I mean by each and every one of them. So first and foremost, secret number one, create a summer plan. I can't even begin to tell you how important I think this is. I think without a plan, you just go bumbling through the summer. And I think the plan, more than anything, helps you to really get realistic about the amount of time you have and how much work can realistically be done in the span of 12 to 15 weeks. So for me, the very beginning of the summer term, you need to get clear. Not when I say make a plan, I really mean you need to get clear about what you actually want, what you actually need, both personally and professionally. I think you want to get clear about how that's actually going to happen. And the thing that people always forget is when. When is the work going to get done? When is the traveling going to happen? When are the family commitments? When is the summer fun going to occur, right? So for me, making a summer plan is not about, oh, here's my big list of goals that I occasionally look at during the summer months. For me, a plan is a really specific-looking thing. It is a list of goals, and it's a mapping out of how to meet those goals, and it's a documentation of when things are actually going to get done. So I'll just say really briefly, to me, when I go to make my plan, when I go to create my plan, I really just do a couple things. I literally sit down and I spend 5 to 10 minutes writing down my personal goals for the summer and my writing goals, okay? You don't want to just do your writing goals, because if you do that, then your personal goals are very unlikely to happen. And summer is really the one time of year that we actually have the freedom to, you know, really make some positive movement on our personal goals. So just take 10 minutes, sit down, go ahead and list your personal goals and your professional goals. Then once you've done that, what I do is I sit down with each of the goals and I figure out, how is this going to happen? What are the actual steps that are necessary to make this happen? And when I'm saying this, I want to be clear, it happens in a really simple way. I literally sit down with a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper. On one side of the paper, usually the right-hand side, I put the goal. And then what I do is I just map backwards all the steps that it takes to get that goal done. So if my goal is to write a book proposal, then I say, well, what does it take to write a book proposal? Well, I have to write a synopsis, I have to write a table of contents, I have to figure out the publisher, I have to write a marketing analysis, and then I keep walking back, right? I keep saying, well, how do I write a marketing analysis? How do I select a publisher? And I keep mapping it out to the smallest possible step. And there's really a simple reason for doing this, because when you take 5 minutes to do this about your personal goals and your professional goals, what you realize is it gets you really clear about the amount of work that needs to be done, about how you're actually going to meet that goal. In other words, what the steps are to meet that goal. And it will immediately illuminate if there's some part of it that you just don't know how to do, which is great information, great insight, because if you don't know how to do something, that becomes an important piece that you need to figure out, right? So I identify my goals, I list them, personal and professional, I get out lots of paper, I map out the how, the steps to actually meeting the goals. And then third, this is the thing that makes it work, but that nobody does. I actually figure out when I'm going to get the work done, right? So if I'm going to write a book proposal and the projects associated with that are writing a synopsis, writing a table of contents, selecting a publisher and write in market analysis, what I do is I estimate. I think each of those things are going to take me about a week. And if they're going to each take me a week, I have to figure out what 4 weeks are those four things going to get done, right? And there's something both magical and painful that happens when you actually have to sit down with your calendar. Because when you sit down with your calendar, you're already going to have marked off your travel time, your family commitments, when you're going to actually be available to do this kind of intense work. And what happens for most people is that what used to look like a big open expanse of time, all of a sudden you realize, I actually don't have that much time this summer when I take my whole life into consideration and my plans into consideration. So now let me figure out when are the things going to get done that need to get done. And if I can't fit all of them into my calendar, then I need to start prioritizing what are the most important things, what are the less important things, and what are the things that just aren't going to make it and might need to be pushed into either the fall semester or that I need to delegate or get some help with, okay? So that's how the semester or the summer plan actually works. And again, I feel really strongly about this. I think take the sit down. It doesn't take more than an hour to do. But if you really make that time to do it, what you end up with is a document that not only has your goals, but that also has week by week what the work that you need to accomplish really is. And I think the gift of that is that there's really two different types of energies around writing. There's the energy of figuring out what I need to do, and there's the energy of doing it. And most people procrastinate because they sit down and they say, oh, first I have to figure out what I need to do, and that takes the energy away from actually doing it. So what you want to be doing is giving yourself a tremendous gift by sitting down at the beginning of the semester, really figuring out roughly what needs to get done each week, and then each week you can decide what day and time it needs to get done. And then when you actually show up for your writing time each day, you don't have to get distracted by what needs to be done. You've already done that for yourself, right? All you need to do is sit down and do it. So that's secret number one, create a semester plan. Secret number two, once you have that semester plan, it's just to write every day. It's not very complicated. You just have to get your butt in the chair, anywhere from 30 minutes to, during the summer, some people might write up to 2 hours. But really being clear that daily writing, go ahead and put that in your calendar, Monday through Friday. If you don't currently have a habit, I can tell you that the best time to get started is by doing it first thing in the morning, okay? So the reason I'm suggesting daily writing is because, just to be perfectly honest, there's mountains of faculty development research that has shown us, documented over and over again, that writing every day in short periods of time, it increases people's productivity, it decreases people's anxiety and stress, it's highly generative, right? So when you sit down to write every day, the actual act of writing generates lots and lots of new ideas, which is exciting and energy provoking. But also that when you combine daily writing with tracking what you're writing and accountability, the result is explosive productivity. That's the magic formula. I write every day, I keep track of my writing, and I hold myself accountable. We're going to talk about that a little more in a minute. But for me, more than anything, the summer is, it's just a perfect time to go ahead and start a daily writing practice. And it's the perfect time because most of you aren't going to have the competing demand of teaching, and you're not going to have the competing demand of service, various types of events and committees and all other sorts of things. And so for me, the perfect summer schedule is to really get your writing, get your intellectual work done in the morning, and then go out and enjoy the afternoon, enjoy the summer, enjoy the freedom that you have, knowing that the most important thing has already gotten done. The big important piece, the writing, the intellectual work, it's already done. And you know how you feel when you're not writing. You know, when we're not writing, we walk around feeling guilty, we feel anxious, we feel stressed. And when you're actually writing every morning and it becomes part of your routine, the great thing is that you're just free from that. You're not only free from it, but you're actually full of interesting ideas, thoughts about your work that are going to really marinate in your brain while you're doing all of these other things. And that's really the optimal way that you want to approach your writing for the summer. Intense, short bursts of work, go off and do the other things you need to do, whatever they may be, and then when you come back the next day, you're ready to get right back down to work. Okay, so secret number one, real simple, create a summer plan. Secret number two, write every day. Secret number three is real simple. Join a supportive community of daily writers. And there's some important qualifiers in that sentence. So first of all, it really does need to be a supportive community. Unfortunately, many writing groups simply reproduce all the negative behavior that we have around writing, which is being hypercritical and not being supportive. So you want to be sure that the people that you're connecting with, the spirit of the group is, and the commitment of the group is really to support one another and really to believe and do whatever is necessary for everybody to get their writing done. The other qualifier in that statement is joining a supportive community of daily writers. What you don't want when you're trying to build a new habit of daily writing is to be in community with people who are really wedded to the notion of binge and bust writing, who are really wedded to the idea that I can only write when there's a deadline, I do my best work when I stay up for 3 days in a row before the deadline, and that I only write when I'm inspired, and all these other sorts of things. So, you know, when you're trying to build a new habit, what you don't want is people who their writing habits are exactly the opposite and that they really want to question and pull down what it is that you're trying to do. It would be like, you know, you're trying to get sober and you're joining a community of people who drink a lot. Right? So what you want to do is surround yourself with people who are down with the same program, the daily writing program, okay? So, you know, for me, you not only want this type of support just to build and maintain the new habit, but what I want to be really clear about is that daily writing is absolutely guaranteed to bring up all of your stuff. And by stuff, I mean all of your emotional baggage, all of your fears, all of your anxieties. That's what it does, right? And that sounds kind of unpleasant. But what you want is all of that crap to come up to the surface, because when it's right up at the surface, you know, we can deal with it. We can use various types of strategies to maneuver around the stuff when it's up at the surface. And what you don't want is for all the stuff to just be percolating under the surface and really driving your behavior unconsciously, right? The whole point of sitting down every day, of developing the daily writing practice, is to really get in touch with your fears and anxiety and to really figure out ways that work for you to move around. You're never going to get rid of them, right? But to move around the fears that keep you from writing, to move around the anxieties that keep you from writing, to get to know how your fears and anxieties lead you to procrastinate, avoid, deny, all the kinds of resistance that comes up with writing. And, you know, I think you get to do this, and it happens when you do the daily writing. But what you really want, and the reason for joining a supportive community of daily writers, is that when you hit a moment of resistance, when you hit a moment of fear, when you hit a moment of anxiety, when you're down, somebody else in your group is going to be up. And no matter what it is that you face, no matter what is keeping you from writing, there's going to be somebody else in your group that's going to have faced the same thing and is going to be able to suggest ways that they move around it. Recently, I was in a group and somebody voiced the fear of how stuck they get when they're facing a blank page. And within, 2 minutes, 10 different suggestions had come up from this group about, you know, I have that fear as well, and this is what I do. I turn off my monitor and I just type. I cover my monitor with a pillowcase if I have an iMac and I can't just turn it off. I use Dr. Wicked's Write or Die, right, which is sort of a fun and playful way to force me to keep writing on a blank page. People just kept coming up with one idea after another. And, you know, again, this is the purpose of being in community. You're not going to be up all the time. You're going to be down sometimes. And you want to be surrounded by people who not only have been down, but who are up at the moment and who can give you really tangible and concrete ways to maneuver around your fear, around your anxiety, and around your resistance. Okay? Secret number four is commit to regular accountability. And I know lots of us don't like this word accountability, but when I'm using it in a really specific way. And for me, accountability just means that you're responsible to somebody else, okay? So, you know, we have lots and lots of built-in accountability for teaching, right? So if you're teaching a class, you have to show up. There's going to be a room full of people. They're going to be looking at you and expecting you to do something. And most of us are not going to show up in that circumstance without being prepared and without performing, right? We also have a lot of built-in accountability around service. We have meetings. We have deadlines. We have events. And if you're not there, people will ask you what happened, where you were, and they won't think very highly of you. So, you know, I think the teaching and service components of our job have this tremendous built-in accountability, but as you all know, writing has pretty much no accountability. So it's often the case that we say, I'm going to finish this article, I'm going to finish this book, I'm going to finish this manuscript this month, and then if we don't do it, you know, what happens, right? Absolutely nothing, because the only person who knows that we even made that commitment is ourselves. And for whatever reason, we're really responsive to meeting our commitments to other people, but we are willing to break our promises to ourselves, right? And that's not a judgment. It's just an observation. I see it all the time that most people, they would sooner die than not show up prepared for class. They never miss a meeting or an event, but they break their writing promises to themselves all the time. So what you want to do is to try to create the same feeling of accountability that's built into your job for teaching and service, but you want to figure out what's going to make it feel as pressing for me to get my writing done as it currently feels for me to get my teaching and service done. And during the summer, this is extra important because it would be really easy, for example, for me right now when I get off the phone, to just go around, to go outside and putter around in my garden, right? But unfortunately, right after this call is my writing time. So I need to still myself down, get my writing done. And the only reason I'm actually going to do that is because I have a mechanism of accountability where I have to report in to somebody about what I actually get done, okay? So what you want to do is figure out what kind of accountability mechanism is going to create that same pressure, that same feeling that if you don't get your writing done, somebody's going to know about it and somebody's going to ask you about it. And I think there's a lot of different ways to do this. I'll tell you how we do it. In my boot camp program, we have what are called small accountability groups. They're four people who meet one day a week, same time every week. The entire meeting takes an hour. There's four people, so each person gets 15 minutes. And in that 15 minutes, all you do is say, my writing goal for last week was either I met it or I didn't meet it. If I didn't meet the goal, why I didn't meet the goal. And this is what I'm going to do for next week. And it sounds really simple, but by simply answering those questions week after week after week, what it ends up doing is a couple things. One, if you're not meeting your goals week after week, the reason why you're not meeting them is going to become very quickly apparent, okay? Secondly, people in the group are going to help you to strategize around whatever it is that's keeping you from writing. And finally, I think it pushes the same button that teaching does and that service does, which is I'm not going to sit in front of a group of people week after week after week and say I didn't do things, right? Because at some point I'm going to feel embarrassed and ashamed, right? So what I want to be able to do is create that same kind of, you can do it face-to-face, you can do it on a conference call, you can do it in a variety of ways, but it creates the same type of pressure around getting things done that having a once-a-week class or having a meeting actually does. So I'm sure you can think of other ways to kind of create accountability. Some people do it daily. They have a writing buddy that they touch base with every morning at the beginning of their writing time. Some people do it at the beginning and the end of their writing time. The point is you have somebody that you're checking in with, okay? So that's secret number four. Let me just talk briefly about secret number five, which I think is incredibly important, and that is having a dedicated mentor. And the summer to me is a time when you're going to do a lot of writing. You're going to be out there on your own. Even if you're connected to various types of communities, you're still going to want to have that at least one person that you can connect with when you're in that deep valley, somebody who's been there before and is a little bit ahead of you. Usually your community of daily writers are going to be peers, and when I say a dedicated mentor, I mean somebody who's been there and done that, okay? And I think there's a couple things that you might want to look for in a dedicated mentor. You want them to have experience, right? They've done the thing that you're trying to do over the summer, whatever that writing project is. You want them to be available, right? Sometimes we have mentors, but they're going to be checked out over the summer. That's great. They can be our mentor when they get back in the fall, but we need to find somebody to fill that hole during the summer. You want somebody who provides positive support, not somebody who's judgmental, who is going to make you feel worse, but somebody who provides positive support and really, really for real believes in you, right? You also want to find somebody who has the ability to focus on you, right? Sometimes we have wonderful mentors, but everything becomes something about them. So what you want is somebody who, when they hear what you're going through, they can really ask you the kinds of questions that keep the focus on you and that help you to find your way out of whatever wormhole that you find yourself in. And finally, you want somebody who's really open, honest, and direct and giving feedback, right? Somebody who can really hear what you're talking about and have a conversation with you that's going to move you around that. And again, I've said it before, but I think it bears repeating, the reason that this really matters is because if you are for real, and I mean really, really for real, going to have a breakthrough summer, and by that I mean you're going to get a lot of writing done and you're going to enjoy the summer, you're going to want to be able to know that you have somebody on speed dial that is going to take your call, is going to be available, really for real believes in you, can focus on you, and can give you the kind of feedback that you need. And sometimes we have to be creative in figuring out who this is, how it's going to work. But I'm saying it because I do want you to think about it. I don't want you to just rest on your old reliable group of mentors, especially if some of them aren't going to be available during the summer. But really push yourself to see, imagine, and contact someone who could actually be a summer mentor. So just to summarize, my sense is that if you want to have a really productive summer and one where you also experience lots of balance between your work and the rest of your life, what you really want to do is create a structure for yourself. And that structure should certainly include starting with the summer plan, but it also should include some components of daily writing, joining a supportive community of writers, building in some form of accountability that's going to keep you writing, and trying to find a dedicated mentor. And before we take questions, I'll just give a really brief analogy. What this always reminds me of is exercise, right? So we all know we should exercise, but lots of us don't. And when I wanted to start exercising, I started by, of course, making a plan, figuring out when I could actually do it. And I really started off by just walking every day because, you know, the research says if you walk every day for 30 minutes, it's better than doing nothing. So I started off by walking every day, right, not unlike daily writing. But at a certain point, I wanted to, it was just miserable and it sort of felt like I was just doing something for the drudgery of doing it. So I started running with a group of friends, right? And running with my group of friends had the function of being both support. If you've ever run with a group of people, you know you run faster, you run further, you work out harder. But it also provided accountability because my girlfriends, if you're not there, they'll call you. And if you're not there, they'll talk about you, okay? So there's a lot of incentive to show up and actually be present. And, you know, when I wanted to kick my game up even a little further, I folded into the mix working with a trainer once a month because that person is an expert, and they could not only help me to improve my fitness, but they could also really easily, quickly, and accurately pinpoint what my problems were and help me to overcome them. So it may be the case as you're looking at your summer that all you really want is to go from whatever's analogous for you to not exercising to walking. And if all you do is start writing every day, you're going to have a more productive summer than you would otherwise. If you're in a crunch, then you may want to think about not just daily writing, but also building in the community and the accountability. And if you're really jammed up and this is a summer where you absolutely have to finish fill in the blank, you might want to think about trying the full spectrum of structure that's really going to keep your feet to the fire and provide a support net for you week after week and day in, day out over the 15 weeks of the summer. So I'm going to stop there, and we have a few minutes for questions and answers. And I guess, Kim, I don't know how it'll work, but I assume someone will ask me a question, and I'll answer it.
Yes, Carrie Ann. If you have a question for Carrie Ann, please press 5-star on your phone keypad, and you'll be put into the question queue. When it's your turn to ask a question, you'll hear the message, line unmuted, and I'll prompt you to ask your question. Okay. Hello. Go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, this is Ora Robinson. Under 5 Secrets to Create a Structure, the last comment was freedom from the idea that you are. What was the idea?
Freedom from, well, I think it provides freedom from two ideas. One is the idea that you have to work all the time, and I think the other is the idea that you are alone in the endeavor of writing.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Your question for Carrie Ann?
Hi, this was extremely helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I was wondering, to what extent do you consider doing research part of the writing? Because I find myself, dedicating a couple hours to, quote, writing, but then I'll end up doing research the whole time or trying to get a little more information before I start writing. And I'm wondering if by writing you actually mean writing or versus working in general.
That's a great question. What I mean when I say writing, and there's no, like, you know, you figure this out for yourself, what works for yourself. There's no writing police here. But when I tend to be very expansive. For me, writing is any task that's associated with getting a manuscript out the door. So proofreading, making a table, working on my citations, all kinds of stuff fits into that. There's only one exception for me, and that is reading. And the reason that that's the exception for me is because reading is my primary means of procrastination. So a lot of times I'll sit down and I'll want to get started writing, but what I'll say is, oh, but I need to read this first, right? Or I need to go check out this. I need to find that. And pretty soon I'm like down the rabbit hole, right? And no actual writing got done. So if you know that that's something that you do, then I would just recommend separating out research time and writing time. So you may only do 30 to 60 minutes of writing time per day, and you may spend 2 hours on research time, right, depending on where you are in what stage of the project. But I think you just have to get clear what your habits and what your triggers are.
Right. Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Next to question.
Hi, yeah, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm really interested in the supportive community aspect.
Yes.
So for about a year and a half, I've been working with a group that started as 5 and now it's down to 3,
mm-hmm.
and I'm finding it not as useful as it was initially, and so I'm looking for ways to maybe figure out, like, how to find a new community, and in particular, I don't seem to be finding it in my peers that are close by, so I wanted to see if you have any suggestions on how to go about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a shelf life on supportive communities, right? So sometimes we can start them and they're great and supportive, and then over time they become less so. And I think we just want to switch it up at that point, right? And I think the question you're asking is, well, how do you switch it up? And I think there's a couple ways you can do it. I mean, one way is to mix up the way you're doing it. So if you're currently doing it in a face-to-face group, you could try an online group. You could try a group that meets by conference call, right? So let's say you have some people that you can think of that would be great, but they all live in different places. Well, you can set up an account with freeconferencecall.com. It's free, just as the name indicates, and you just set a time and a place, or you could Skype so you could look at each other, right? But mixing up, I think, the medium and the people would be important. But it's also the case that if you really want to have a group in your location, that you could do something as simple as just start advertising, right? I want a group of – I'm starting a writing group. This is how it's going to work, and I'm looking for other people who are interested. You don't actually have to know them.
All right, thank you.
I hope you find a great group.
Okay, thank you. It looks like we have a couple more questions. Okay, caller, did you have a question?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, yes, this is Angela Jackson. I actually have a maybe a more unique situation. I currently am a business owner in consulting, and I'm adjunct teaching, but I still have many writing interests, and I'm pursuing some of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, I think I may need to start my own writing group because I don't think I'm in an environment away from the university where I'm teaching adjunct where I can have people, you know, that people are doing the same type of thinking or, you know, career path of teaching like I am.
Yes.
So I guess I'm wondering, one, if I need support, but yet I'm the one that needs to start it.
Right.
It feels kind of pressured, you know, already, but do many people take that path?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Everything I do, everything I organize is for me. I run the boot camp because otherwise I would just sit around eating chocolate and drinking beer all summer, right? So
okay.
I think that's the best status to be in, right?
Oh,
because
okay.
if you actually want help and you want the structure, you
right.
what that does is it puts you in a situation where you ask yourself, what exactly do I need? And then when you start to put the group together, you don't say I'm putting a writing group together. You say I'm putting together a group that's going to meet 1 hour a week, and we're going to – everybody gets 15 minutes. It's an accountability group, and the whole point is to keep us writing. We're not going to read each other's work. We're not going to write during the time. We're just going to meet to hold each other accountable for writing. You see how specific that is?
Yes.
And what you do is if you're going to do the work to put the group together, you might as well put it together. You might as well imagine exactly what's going to be the most supportive for you.
Okay.
And then create that.
Wow. Thank you very much.
And the last thing I'll say is, you know, it sounds like you're a really busy woman, right? And the busier
yes.
that you are, I think the clearer that you have to be about how you spend your time. And what that means for me is that you want to set up exactly the type of support and accountability group that is exactly what you want and need, because you don't have time to play around.
Right.
Okay.
Great. Good luck.
All right. Thank you. I think we have time for one more question.
Okay. Great.
So, all right. Do you have a question, Carrie Ann?
Hi.
Hi.
Do I have a question?
Does anyone else have a question?
Oh, okay.
I just unmuted another person. Someone had their hand up. Sorry. It's not always. Okay. I don't think anyone else has any questions. If you do have a question, well, we have time for maybe one more question. You press 5-star to raise your hand. All right. I don't see any other questions. So thank you, Carrie Ann.
Great. I hope everybody has an incredibly productive and an incredibly enjoyable summer.
This has been an educational presentation brought to you by the Text and Academic Authors Association.